if you walk into an arrangement thinking you're selling this and the customer is buying that, you know, you're starting from a deficit. You know, you really have to know your audience. What is that decision maker buying?
Hi, thanks for joining. This is Zia here, and that is the voice of Kevin McManus, an accomplished CIO with 34 years of IT leadership experience, including 7 years as a senior vice president and chief information officer at Corning Incorporated, a Fortune 500 global industry leader. Without further ado, let's get started.
Thank you, Zia. It's great to be here.
So, Kevin, for the benefit of our listeners, I would love to know about your journey, your professional journey. If you can connect the dots for us, that would be great, please.
I joined Corning in 1981 as the IT supervisor in a factory in Bluffton, Indiana. I was fresh out of MBA school, no experience to speak of, and Corning was willing to take a chance on me. I spent the next 34 years working in IT for Corning, in manufacturing, in business divisions, in corporate groups with, you know, responsibilities for things like HR and legal and engineering, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of international experience. My last 7 years at Corning, I was CIO. And retired in August of 2015. Since then, I've done a little consulting telephonically with Nutanix, Alpha Sites, folks like those. And I took up golf with my wife. And I'm enjoying retirement and golf. Very good at golf, but I certainly enjoy it. That's the story.
Yeah, I'm planning to launch another pod focused on golf. So we should connect again.
Take lessons. Don't just go out there.
Talk to us about what kind of services and what kind of products were you involved in when you were buying from outside?
Well, certainly consulting services, product sales, you know, hardware and the like, utilities, network and broadband and cellular services and so forth, and managed services. Those were the those were the areas I was involved in.
So, how was the obviously interacting and working with multiple vendor partners in general? How was your experience like?
Well, it certainly ran the gamut between very productive and extremely frustrating, depending on who you were dealing with and the particular service or product that you were buying.
I would love to understand, you know, as a CIO, how was your decision process like, Kevin?
Well, obviously, there was strong stakeholder involvement in all the decisions. You know, certainly there are people in the organization that would have more direct responsibility for the product or service than I had as CIO. And it was imperative that, you know, they were deeply involved and their buy-in was, you know, critical to the decision process. And that, you know, that could involve someone within my IT organization. It could be involved somebody within the customer organization, either in a business or a manufacturing operation, et cetera, depending on the nature of the deal.
I would love to understand, as a CX, so when you were looking to work with a long-term partner, what were you looking for in a vendor? What kind of attributes would you look for?
Well, there has to be some level of, and again, I'm talking about long-term relationships.
Of course.
Some level of shared values. The deal needed to provide mutual benefit for both parties. There are no things that look too good to be true, never are. If the deal isn't win-win, it's not gonna last. You really have to step back and take a long-term perspective the quality and the values of the people you're working with if you expect to have a long-term, value-added, win-win type of relationship.
When you say win-win for the relationship, you're talking about, you know, a partnership model where both the companies have equal stake in making it happen? Or was it something more to that, Kevin? Or?
Well, benefits of the deal need to go both ways, right? You know, as a customer, obviously, I want the benefit of a successfully delivered product or service. As a vendor, I want to be, you know, remunerated in proportion to the benefit that I'm providing that customer. And if one party is, you know, playing cute with that and trying to extract more out of the deal than makes sense, then you really don't have a win-win long-term relationship. It's impossible.
Yeah.
There are no shortcuts.
Yeah, that is such a great point, right? I mean, if it's a partnership, then you don't want one partner to be exploiting and trying to push the other one down, because both of them are working towards the same objective. That's a great point.
Exactly. Yeah.
But how important was knowing you and knowing Corning at that time? Culture was definitely a pretty important thing, right? In how you decided on who to work with. How did you check on that? How did you decide on that, Kevin?
Well, I think it's first of all, it's culture is critical. If the cultures don't mesh, if the values don't mesh, I think it actually becomes pretty obvious when it doesn't happen. I think you got to gauge the interactions, and it's not just at the executive level, it's every level. You know, and I think back to our relationship with Wipro in the very, very early days, when we were just putting out feelers for this is what we're trying to accomplish, can you guys play a role, et cetera, et cetera. It's how did, you know, our IT people and our IT teams react to the interactions with the Wipro teams and other vendors? How did you react to us? You can watch a sense of shared purpose develop just in the way people interact. And as I said, it's not just at the executive level, it's all the way through. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's the teams that need to make things work. The executives need to get along and agree on kind of the strategic pieces of this. But, you know, at a tactical level, people need to be able to work together.
Yeah. And I have seen that. And I've seen that during your leadership, Kevin, that across all levels, people were really working well.
Right. Well, in addition to that, Zia, I would add that the culture of Corning up until that time, as I said, we did a little managed services with a couple of vendors in very small pockets. And it was mostly applications support kind of. And, you know, I remember when I brought this up to my staff in the first instance, this concept of managed services really came about because, you know, coming out of the recession in the 2008-2009 timeframe, Corning was going crazy. I mean, we were acquiring, we were expanding significantly in Asia, and it was everything we could do to keep up. And our model had been using contractors, you know, kind of individuals as opposed to, you know, companies of contractors. And we would augment the staff with those people. Well, that goes so far. You know, you're buying bodies, you're not buying services. And, you know, it became very apparent to me that this was not a model that could scale commensurate with the demands of IT at that time. And it's not something that came to me overnight. I mean, we watched this thing play out over a couple of years. And finally, we said, we have to do it. And I remember the first reaction. Remember, I brought this up at a staff meeting in 2013. It was, well, let me hire 100 people and I'll have this thing solved for you. Either I'm not making the point or you're just not getting it. It isn't about throwing more bodies at the problem. It's about really extending our reach with partners. And when you approach it from that, I'm not hiring a body. I'm hiring a partner to provide a full service. We had to go through this mindset change. And, in addition to learning to deal with other companies and other cultures and so on and so forth, we had a lot of convincing internally, which was lots of fun. That was my job.
But how did you go about that? I mean, that must have been the toughest part of the whole process, right? Convincing internally, changing the mindset. How did you go about that, Kevin?
Well, it was, there was no magic to it. It started with, getting some fundamental education around what managed services could look like. Then putting a team together to really focus on what are the opportunities out there? Who are the potential vendors? We took advantage of a service that Gartner offered to help us do our homework. They were great instructors. And so, they were meeting, with us as a staff on a regular basis and the Corning internal team to explain how these things might work and to contrast a managed services arrangement with what we were doing with, these ad hoc bodies and staff augmentation, as we politely called it. It's making comparisons and demonstrating other successes and just keeping yourself in, what it means to go down this route. And eventually, we had really good people on our internal team working with the Gartner folks. And the Gartner folks were first class. You have the credibility of the Gartner team and the internal people that we literally pulled them off of their day jobs to go do this thing. And, they made for a very compelling case to go this particular route. And then we also, I also had the executive management team to get on place. We quickly, I got my boss involved, who was, reported to the CEO. And we quickly decided that we ought to get an advisory group together, which was composed of my boss, the CAO, Jim Flaws, the CFO, and Lewis Severson, who is the chief attorney in the company, because we knew this was going to involve a lot of contracting, et cetera. And, they were my board of directors. And then I also met with the board several times a year, as part of our normal IT updates. And we got them involved. And that was very helpful. And it's, as they got to understand what this change was about and what this meant for Corning, it was very helpful to get them on board. Because we also had, division business leaders to convince. And when you think about it, I'm in a business division and I'm going from buying my services directly from Kevin McManus to buying my services from Wipro for technologies that I'm relying on day to day. I've got to be convinced that this is the right thing to do and that McManus knows what the heck he's doing.
Yeah. That itself was a long process, right? I mean, trying to get everyone internally on board and aligned and all that.
Yeah.
Kevin, you brought up an interesting point, and I'll tell you an experience where, you know, we were involved in a similar complex deal at another prospect. And the team had decided, yes, let's go ahead with this company. And they already told us, yes, no, look, we are going with you for now as a preferred this thing, and we are taking it to the board. And the board, unfortunately, decided not to go forward with this because the board had not heard of our company before, right? And in a scenario like that, how do we, a company like that where, I don't know if your board had a similar experience, how do you handle like that, or what would be your suggestion?
Well, again, we didn't just spring this on the board one day. You know, the board knew of our process with, you know, we set up the problem. Staff augmentation is not cutting it in supporting the growth of the company. We want to investigate this concept we're calling managed services. And, you know, they were as aware of that from the beginning as anyone in the corporate, is my staff. Because as I said, you know, I would meet with the board roughly a quarterly basis and go through, you know, various topics that they were, you know, in IT that they were interested in. And, you know, this is a big initiative. And, you know, clearly the ability of the IT function to deliver in these acquisitions, you know, I'll give you an example. We did an acquisition, division of Becton Dickinson, and over half of the acquisition budget was IT integration expense. And it was a large budget. And so it was, you know, these things catch your attention, right? We're spending a lot of money on IT. We better be doing it. We better be doing it right. Yeah. So, you know, if you start early, you get people warm to the idea. Now, we also had the benefit of having a woman on the board, Deb Riemann, who was the founder of an IT company. And she was particularly interested in IT. And she would come once or twice a year to meet with my staff and participate in a staff meeting, because she was really interested in what we were doing. And it was, I mean, it was great PR with the board. You know, if I can get Deb on board and get her comfortable with who's running IT and the kinds of challenges we're up against, you know, I've got an insider that's also working. And she was a very, you know, she's a long-term board member and a very prominent person on the board. And that helped. So you've got to use all of those tactics to make a difference. You can't just walk in one day and say, "Hey, we want to do this deal with Wipro." Who's Wipro? You know, that's good. Now, I'm not saying that you're the company that you're referring to do that. Sounds like they didn't do a lot of warm up.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a pretty good best practice. That's interesting to know. Yeah. So I also remember, Kevin, I don't know if you remember this, but I'm sure I'm taking you back a little bit there. But, you know, one of these large managed services deal, you know, before you took the final decision, you decided to meet the executive sponsors from the company, and you met them separately for dinner. And I believe that interaction also helped you in deciding who to work with. Was that right? And how did that interaction pan out, or what helped you to decide who to work with from that? Do you remember that, Kevin?
I vividly remember that. Well, you know, again, this was part of the, you know, the due diligence around cultural fit. Bala from Wipro was probably one of the most charismatic people I've ever met. There's just something about him. I've never seen it in anyone I've ever dealt with in my life. I mean, he was magnetic. And, you know, so part of you says, this can't be real, right? I mean, this, who is this guy? You know, they send him in to charm. But, you know, and this was not my only meeting with Paula, but he really did have, you know, a quality of insightfulness and introspection you know, awareness about the change that I tried to explain to you earlier about, you know, not only was this, it wasn't just an outsourcing deal for Wipro. We were changing, you know, the culture inside of IT and about how Corning delivers IT. And, you know, he keenly understood what we were up against. And I think with the other finalists, that depth of understanding did not exist. Really understanding what it is we were trying to change at Corning was something that Bala keenly understood. And it was very helpful. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It was that simple. And just absolutely got the cultural piece. And yeah, good dinners too. It's some wonderful wine.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. And Bala is also a very genuine person. So he's a great partner to work with.
He really was.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So on similar lines, when I extend that, right, Kevin, what have you seen sales leaders getting it wrong when they approach CXOs, right, when they interact with someone like you on the other side? What do they get wrong sometimes?
I think those last two dinners were a microcosm of that point, insofar as Bala knew what we were looking for and the change we were trying to affect, and his counterpart, the other company, didn't understand it. And so if you walk into an arrangement thinking you're selling this and the customer is buying that, you know, you're starting from a deficit. You know, you really have to know your audience. What is that decision maker buying? You know, are you buying a couple of laptops? Are you buying, you know, cellular service? Are you buying, you know, just, you know, simple utilities? Are you buying something else? And just, you know, it almost seems simple in retrospect, but it's these weren't the only deals that these vendors were working on. You know, their minds engaged with, you know, multiple people and, you know, multiple products. But I think really understanding what it is your customer is buying and what they need from you is just critical. It almost sounds trite to say it, but it's just that simple.
What is your advice for CXOs, you know, CIOs and others who are buying from these external vendor organizations? How should they look at building a long-term partnership with external vendors?
Long-term relationships take time to develop. And, you know, not only do you need to understand the stakeholder process in your own organization, because sometimes the decision-making process can be numbingly complex, you know, depending on what it is you're buying and who needs to be involved, et cetera, et cetera. You need to personally invest in the relationship. You're not handing this stuff off to somebody. So, you know, in order to make the relationship successful, you need to work your own side of the street as well as work with the potential vendor. And, you know, get personally invested in the relationship. And again, I'm not talking about we're buying pens and pencils. I'm talking about we're buying really value-added services and looking for, you know, a long-term investment. You know, that vendor becomes part of you and you them. And, you know, it's got to be win-win. We talked early on about mutual benefit. You know, there's no extortion involved. It's and it doesn't just happen. It takes time to bring everybody on board and make sure there's complete and utter understanding about what it is you're trying to accomplish.
If someone wants to reach out and say hi, what's the best way to do it?
Oh, send me an email or reach out on LinkedIn. I loosely pay attention to that. You know, as I told you, when we were talking on the phone a while back, you know, the half-life of my technical knowledge is measured in minutes, and my professional knowledge is maybe weeks or months. But you know, you've dredged up a lot of old memories here in the course of this.
I hope that's a good thing.
No, it is a great. It's a great. It's a great thing. I really enjoyed it.
So, Kevin, professionally, if someone wants to reach out to you for advice or consulting, are you still available and okay to do that, Kevin?
Sure. You know, I can't give you any technical advice, but I can give you advice on how to approach problems and work with stakeholders and that sort of thing. Kind of the softer side of managing an IT group.
And that's the most important part of it, right? So
that's it was to me.
Exactly. Yeah. So Kevin, you know, greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this for me. I greatly appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me, Zia. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please do subscribe to the podcast, and I will greatly appreciate if you can leave a review. If you have any suggestions for future guests or any feedback, please write to me at zia@sellingtoenterprises.com. See you on the next episode. Thank you.